Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be preaching today from the Gospel reading, Mark chapter 1, 14 to 20. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, fill us with your Spirit, lead us to repentance, to faith, to following Christ, and to being fishers for people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says that the time is fulfilled. Have you ever noticed how time is somewhat of a mysterious thing? It's something so basic to our lives, and yet it can be strange to consider. We say time flies when we're having fun, and we know that it's as if time stands still when things aren't so fun. And these are a bit more than just flippant phrases. They express something very true in our experience. That we don't encounter every sequence of minutes, hours, and days in the same way. Time, our relation to it, is mysterious. Perhaps that's why whenever I go on holidays, no matter how long ago, it feels like I always need just one more week. Time is mysterious. But the mystery is not just in how we move through quantities of time, but it's also that time has a qualitative difference as well. Not all moments in time feel the same. We speak of quality time, don't we? We know that there are moments in each of our lives which seem to be more critical and significant than others. They're charged with meaning. One thinks of the writer of Ecclesiastes in that famous passage, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." As Jesus began his ministry, he proclaimed the good news of God and he said, "The time is fulfilled." Here, now, he's saying, in his coming, this is the definitive moment of God's intervention in history, in his creation. It's a critical time, a significant time, and our text shows us that in Jesus' coming, it's a time of grace. Because it's good news, he says, but there's also a sense of urgency here because it is the critical time. The time has come, Jesus says. A time for what? Well, the time for the kingdom of God to draw near. The kingdom of God. Now, why is that significant? Well, because people then, as now, look around this world at the many kingdoms and kings, and they wonder, who is really in charge? To whom shall we give our allegiance? Who rules and reigns in this world? And there are always competing kingdoms. Jesus announces, now is the time of God's kingdom, of God's rule and reign in this world. It has drawn near, and it won't be competing with any other kingdom. This will transcend every other claim to power and authority. And yet here too, there's something a bit strange going on. Because as the people heard this announcement, the kingdom of God's drawing near, they looked around them, and what did they see? How can this kingdom be drawing near when there doesn't seem to be any great and wonderful changes happening? What was actually near to them? Well, what was near to them, literally, was Jesus. He was very near to them. The thing that is near is Jesus. He is the king, and so he brings the kingdom wherever he goes. But of course, it was easy to miss, wasn't it? Because he came in this unexpected way. He came in humility. He came in lowliness. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. And that was the even more critical time. St. Paul says that at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Death and resurrection, that's how this king will usher in his kingdom. As you look around at our world, The words of Psalm 46 will always be relevant. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. And so in the words of another psalm, we are called not to put our trust in princes. Jesus announces that the kingdom of God has drawn near. That is where we place our allegiance. That is why we pray continually, your kingdom come. And because of all this, the time to respond to the coming of this king becomes a critical one as well. It's time, Jesus says, to repent, to believe, and to follow him. The issue here is, which direction do we orient our lives in this world? What messages do we put our trust in? What or whom do we follow? And Jesus, your King, calls you to himself and to the good news of God, he announces. He calls you to repent, to turn away from the paths of life which are spiritual dead ends, to turn from the paths of self-destructive behavior, to turn from the path of sin and idolatry, and to turn to him in faith, to trust in Christ as the King who comes to bring the just and gentle rule of God into our lives. In Christ Jesus, this kingdom of life and forgiveness and salvation has come, and it's all for you. The time is now, therefore, to repent and to believe and to follow him like those first disciples. Those first disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John, called from their worldly vocations, called to sacrifice certain things, to leave certain things behind in order to follow Jesus on the path he chose. And so consider this day for yourself. What are the areas of your life in this time, in this moment, where you especially need to hear your Lord's call to you to repent, to believe the good news, and to follow Jesus? Again, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "We urge you not to accept the grace of God in vain. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." And because of all this, because the time of Jesus' rule and reign has come, the time of repentance and faith and following Christ has come, for those who are called, Jesus reminds us, it's also time for fishing. Time for fishing. Not off the jetties or boats or the beaches of beautiful South Australia, not fishing for Tommies or gar or whiting, but fishing for people. Follow me, and I will make you, Jesus will make you, fish for people. God wants all people caught up in the net of his kingdom, and so he calls his disciples to join him in this great and wonderful mission of announcing to the world that in Christ Jesus the rule and reign of God has come. And that amidst all the bad news in our world, this is good news. It's good news for all people that God has come to us in Christ Jesus. That in his kingdom there is everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. The time has been fulfilled. And so the time for reaching out with the good news is now. There is an urgency to the mission of the church. Now, to be sure, not every Christian is called to preaching and teaching, to frontline evangelism and mission. Not every Christian has the same vocation as these first apostles. Just like not every person on the fishing boat needs to be holding the nets and dragging in the fish. You need a whole crew doing all manner of tasks. But no matter what task you have, The key thing for us to keep in focus is that the mission of the fishing boat is to catch fish, and the mission of the church is to catch people, to cast the net of God's gracious invitation to those around us so that many more can be drawn to Christ Jesus. We do well as a community, as a congregation, in our planning and activities for the year ahead to keep this focus in our minds and hearts. The time is fulfilled. The time is a mysterious thing. And in the workings of God, He too has particular times He intervenes to act in judgment and in salvation. And in Christ Jesus, the critical time has come. And so the time to repent and believe and follow and fish is here. And so I leave you with words written to the early Christians in Ephesus. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. God grant it to us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.